Welcome to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to PGIM India Mutual Fund presents Smart Investing, a podcast series where we provide you, fellow investors, with insights, tips, and tricks on how you can really approach your unique investment journeys. Always useful to tune into our podcast because you may pick up on a couple of things that you haven't thought about before. Hi, everyone. Ahalya here, by the way. Now, today's conversation is particularly important because it is something that I think all of us as investors might overlook or leave behind, you know, in the excitement of investing and what that brings to our lives. But it's very important to guide our investment journeys in a sense. From the time that we are children, we are taught to sort of set our eyes on a goal and reach that goal step by step. And that often keeps us on track. It keeps us focused. It teaches us the value of accomplishment and leaves us feeling fulfilled, right? Once we've achieved those goals. So why shouldn't that particular approach or philosophy be applied to investment? Well, the answer is, of course it should. But it's easier said than done, specifically for the reason that I mentioned before, which is we all kind of get carried away in the excitement of investment, right? So on today's podcast, Ravi and Lisa are going to be discussing the importance of goal setting, the value it can bring to your investment journeys, as well as very practical, actionable tips on how you can go about setting your goals and what the right investment tools are to support you in your goals, because there are goals of many kinds. So put your listening hats on and let's get started. Over to you, Ravi.
Thanks, Ahalya. Now, in our journey of life, we all have many goals, aspirations, and it could be a higher education, an overseas education, your dream SUV, a sports bike, or your dream home. The list can go on. Our goals may change as we progress in life. For instance, in my childhood, I was really passionate about cars and desired to pursue engineering. But then as life progressed, I was drawn towards stock markets and personal finance. So goals may change, but some of our long-term goals like retirement are very similar for all the people. So my long-term plan is to create a retirement coffers maybe in 15 years. So thus my portfolio is heavily tilted towards equity mutual funds. In essence, our goals can really have an impact on how we manage our finances. And in this episode, we will delve into how we can align our finances with our goals. So welcome back, Lisa.
Hi, Ravi. Thanks. Good to be back and listening to you. I think I kind of quickly recall some of my own goals. So yes, it is a very important topic to discuss.
So Lisa, goal-based investing is something very simple and easy to follow. But in reality, what I've observed is that many investors don't really follow it. Most investors that I have come across, at least, start with the question of asking how much return can I expect from this fund or portfolio. So what are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, Ravi, so you are absolutely right. It is a simple thing to do, but you know, most individuals are not really thinking about goals when they choose where to invest. They are really only thinking returns. How much will I get? So the goal itself becomes to maximize your return. Now, step one is really to understand that chasing return is not an achievable goal, not every time anyway. So sometimes you might hit that mark and sometimes you won't, and you won't know, you know, whether you're going to or not. And return really is not a standalone outcome, right? It is accompanied by risk. Unless you understand the risk you are taking to earn that return, you will end up burning your fingers in trying to maximize return. So what I'm saying is that maximizing return is, you know, a tricky goal to have. There is a segment of investors, specifically, you know, high net worth investors, where financial objectives are more or less covered. So your, you know, life's financial goals are covered. If that is the case, then yes, maximizing return can be the goal. But even then, you have to be sure that you understand the risk and you are able to absorb that risk. If return is the only goal, you will also never be satisfied, because, you know, there will always be someone who has earned a higher return. some stock that has done better than the stocks you hold, or some fund which is a top performer in some period of time that you're looking at and yours isn't. You may just end up chasing return and never be satisfied.
Right, Lisa. So what I understand is that goal-based investing, in a sense, may work for some people, but it may not work for some other people like HNIs who may have already met most of their goals and money is really not a concern for them. And what they are really looking at is capital preservation. But what we have been observing lately among, you know, new investors who are coming in and people who are aspiring for their goals for the next 10, 20 years, that they are chasing returns, be it through stocks, FNOs, IPOs, and this can really derail their goals, right?
Yeah, that's right, Ravi. So there is an atmosphere of greed, in a sense, where investors are flocking too quickly to the perceived best investment option. This is a very risky way to approach a portfolio where, really what we are looking for is consistent return. So instead, think about the purpose of your investment. What do you need the money for? It's a simple question. Once you have identified that purpose, it's easier to allocate money to the appropriate investment. Then return is a function of the quality of the investment and the inherent risk. So for example, if you need money for a down payment on a home loan in 6 months, right? Now that is a valid purpose for allocating your investment. Now you cannot simply leave that money in an equity investment because the volatility in a 6 month period may work against you. Hence, here you need an investment which is more about capital safety. Returns now will be commensurate to that objective because the investment we choose depends on the objective. On the other hand, if the objective is building your retirement kitty, like you were talking about, then the allocation will have substantial equity exposure and returns will be in line with that.
Yeah, that makes sense. You basically allocate based on your goals. That's how you start. But how does one know if the strategy is successful for me or not?
Yeah, so, you know, unlike a traditional investment strategy where you are measuring performance based on whether the portfolio of funds or stocks or debt and equity investments, whatever you have, whether that is beating some benchmark index, because that's a good measure of success when you're doing that. In a goal-based strategy, the only measure of success can be whether you are meeting your personal financial goals or not. Okay, so achieving your personal financial goals is a function of first identifying the goals, then separating your investments in a way that each goal is catered to. Goals must be articulated specifically with a monetary value and a timeline to them. So we are not just talking about something vague here. I want to plan my destination wedding to take place after 2 years within a budget of 20 lakhs. This is the goal that you can plan your investment for. You can choose specific investment products to cater to this goal. Now, if you're able to accumulate that 20 lakhs in that time frame you have identified by saving and investing right, your strategy is successful. Also, no one will have just one goal, right? There will be multiple goals running alongside each other at the same time. You have to carve out the investment for each of them separately and then ensure that you stick to the mandate for at least the time frame that you have identified.
Right. It's like a blueprint and you make some plans to go about achieving it. So can you elaborate on the process of goal setting? Like, are there some steps involved in it? First, like identifying your goals and then maybe, you know, doing asset allocation.
Well, the process can be as detailed as you would like to make it. What's important is that you identify the goals accurately, as we spoke earlier, and also allocate a reasonably accurate future monetary value to them. So if I were to put it stepwise, step one is identifying the goal. Step two is assigning a monetary value. Step three is assigning a time frame. Step four is then picking the right asset to invest in. And step five is regular periodic monitoring. All the steps are important, but the first two are critical to this process.
Yes, you rightly said that the goals have to be very specific. You can't be saying that, you know, I want to be rich in 10 years. I mean, you have to define how much corpus you need. So defining the goal, I think, really helps in planning the next steps, right?
Yeah, and as mentioned earlier, you must try to be as specific with your goals as possible. The more detailed and specific you are, the better it is to actually achieving those goals. Now, is that always the case? So for some goals, like starting your own venture in, say, 5 to 7 years, you can be very specific to the very last detail. For others, like, you know, retirement, which we were talking about, in, say, 15 years, you won't have all the details today, right? It's very hard to forecast so much in advance. So accuracy of the goal is not mandatory, but defining it precisely is important to ascertain the value. Retirement, for example, may be 15 years away, but you do have a sense of the cost of living, inflation, and lifespan post-retirement to understand what proportion of your savings should go into building a retirement kitty. Also, you know that with a 15-year head start, you can afford to take equity risk to compound returns. So while this is an estimate and it's not as precise as planning your, you know, destination wedding in 2 years, it is measurable in terms of, is your kitty growing at a reasonable rate or not? Also, you know, you may have 4 or 5 goals at a given time, and over time, these goals will change. They will evolve just like life does. So when you plan your investment goal-wise, then your portfolio is automatically kind of diversified, because depending on the time frame and the urgency of the goal, the choice of investments will differ. So that is also another kind of outcome of this process.
So Lisa, if I were to bucket my goals into short term, medium term and long term, so are there any specific products or asset classes that, you know, I can maybe perhaps automatically fit into those goals? You know, for instance, if my goal is paying a down payment in the next 6 months, so I don't want to take too much risk in my portfolio for paying that down payment. So are there any specific products that would fit into each of these goals?
You're right, Ravi. So you don't want to take risk with short-term goals, right? So typically for short-term goals, you should look for assets which provide high capital safety. Now, these are usually fixed return investments like deposits. Liquid funds and ultra short-term funds from the mutual fund umbrella are also very low risk as they invest in near maturity interest-bearing securities. Hence, here as well, the yield is relatively predictable and risk of non-fulfillment, despite being market-linked portfolio, is quite low. Now, for very long-term goals, inflation-beating returns are critical, because we know that in the long run, inflation will eat up the value of your money. At around 6% annual inflation in India, in 10 years, the value of money becomes, you know, almost half. So your goals, which are many years away, you need to at least beat inflation and then some, so that the value actually compounds or grows. And equity assets provide a good way to invest for the long term, so that compounded returns are inflation beating and are also tax efficient.
Yeah, essentially, you have to beat inflation over the long term. So that's why you invest in assets like equities, which have the potential of wealth creation. And for your short term goals, you have liquid funds, overnight funds, and your FDs for meeting your emergency. But what if my goal is, you know, medium term, say in 3 years, the market may crash or it may not crash. I can't really predict now what will happen in next 3 years, but is there a middle path to it? You know, where do I invest for, say, a medium term goal?
You know, it's the goals that fit in the middle, like 3 to 5 years, which are harder to plan for. You can't be all out capital safety for these goals, because the time frame is long enough so that you need to grow the value of your money. At the same time, being very aggressive and taking on long-term equity only can be a risk because of the volatility. We have seen periods of 3 to 4 years where equity returns are subdued. So you may face a correction in the short term, and you know, that doesn't allow for your goals to be achieved. Here you can either get a mix of debt and equity investments, or do it such that the first 3 years or so are invested in equity to maximize returns, and the next two are in debt investments where risk of volatility is low. You can look for debt investments with maturity matching your remaining 2 years. However, the second strategy will be impacted by the equity market cycle, and if your first 3 years fall in the peak of the market, then returns can be limited. So you will have to weigh out the strategies considering the external market environment as well. But yes, some kind of a mix is what ideally you should go for.
So I was reading some material online on this topic, and what I realized is that investors who are just starting out, you know, who have just started their career, they may not be having some specific goals in their mind. Like, of course, a goal like retirement may be very far-fetched in their mind. But there are also other set of investors who are very old, like 75-year-old retirees. So they may not have many goals in their mind, you know. So what would be your advice to those kind of investors?
Yeah, so, you know, that can happen too. A 25-year-old, like you rightly said, is not going to be able to visualize retirement even, you know, they won't want to think about it. Even a destination wedding, which is a specific goal, may well be fulfilled through their current income, given that, you know, they don't have any other responsibilities. You know, similarly for a 75-year-old, there may be no more pressing life goals as such, other than just enjoying their life. In such cases, calculated risks in good quality inflation beating assets work well to grow your wealth, because that would be the only logical goal to work with. Again, investing in good quality equity shares or funds can help with this goal. Even at 75, you can invest in equity, assuming that your savings and investments pile is already large enough. And secondly, you're not taking extreme risk in equity, but rather sticking to good quality and reasonable risk of, say, large and mid caps. Regardless, for equity investments, incremental time frame remains 5 years. Plus, for compounded returns to start impacting your portfolio value meaningfully, you do need some time. So for retirees, it really depends on what they already have. So some portion of it can get allocated to equity also. So wealth keeps growing. And, you know, some portion can remain in capital safety from where you draw your income.
What I've understood is that making a plan and a goal-based plan really helps your asset allocation in place. And are there any other benefits of goal-based investing?
Yeah, this, you know, strays away from the whole discussion around returns, etc. There are people or individuals who are very in tune with their likes and dislikes, and they can plan out things in their life accordingly, right? Most of their investing is going to be anyway by default goal-based, because like I said, they're in tune with what they like and don't like, because, you know, they are planning out what's next in life. For those who aren't very good at intuitively knowing what they want and which direction they want to head in, say in a few years' time, goal-based investing actually forces you to think deeper about life choices and the outcomes you are seeking. It forces you to ask yourself, what do I want next? Or how do I want to spend on, say, my child's higher education? Is it critical to send my child overseas, or should we look for something in India itself? The outcome of fleshing out this one goal, for example, will have a big impact on your financial reality. Sending your child abroad to study can cost at least a couple of crores, whereas studying in India is a few lakhs, and the remainder of the money can get gainfully invested for, say, a master's degree or a, you know, PhD or retirement or whatever. So thinking about your goals is not just about your asset allocation. It's really about your life choices, in a sense.
Yes, absolutely. It gives you a clear path and plan your finances more thoughtfully, Lisa.
Yeah, and these are, you know, Ravi, important discussions. And if you haven't yet sat down and thought through your future financial goals, it definitely helps to do this exercise to steer your life in a direction that is conscious and deliberate rather than just ad hoc. I do take your point that people who are very young or well into their retirement may not find this exercise very useful, in which case the goal is defined as simply wealth creation, right? Especially for the young, starting a wealth creation goal early in life gives you a very long runway to compound wealth. And that's going to be the key to becoming financially free by the time you are in your 40s and 50s. So there are benefits. Now, having goals also helps people keep their expenses in check, because you're consciously taking out money to save and invest for something that you want. Otherwise, you end up overspending on frivolous things rather than accommodating your future financial well-being. And this is not just for individuals, right? It's for entire families. It can be beneficial and useful.
Great, Lisa. So I think it's a very important topic that we have covered today in the age of IPOs, FNOs, and all the frenzy that we are seeing in the market. So this topic kind of reminds people to, you know, think deeper and look at their finances more holistically and think what money really means for them and what is the purpose that money serves to them. Thanks, Lisa, for making this topic really very easy to understand for listeners. And before we end, I would like to just summarize a few learnings that I've observed today. First and foremost, your goal should be very smart. It should be very specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. The second point is clearly setting out your goals should help you allocate your investments into the right asset classes, so you won't take risk with your short-term investments. Also, one should stay away from investing in risky assets if your goal is really short-term. And for long-term goals, one should invest in assets that have the potential to generate higher than inflation returns. For example, you know, diversified equity mutual funds. In life, goals can keep changing, so you need to realign your strategy and thinking as per your changing circumstances. So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. You have to be flexible and change your asset allocation based on your goals. And like we have always been advising, it's always good to work with a financial advisor who can help you plan your finances, plan your goals. A financial advisor can really help you understand your goals and do course correction whenever required. With that, we come to the end of this episode. Thanks, Lisa, once again for making this concept really easy to understand. And we will catch you in the next episode very soon.
Thanks a lot, Ravi. This was good. And I think it's a good reminder to tell ourselves that money is an enabler. And if you want the most from your money, then goals are important to look at.
Another enriching conversation through the PGIM India Mutual Fund Smart Investing. This one had a lot of practical, actionable tips that we can apply to our own investment journeys. We pretty much discussed every possible permutation and combination of life goals and investment tools that can really help you make the most of your investment journey. Hope you enjoyed this one. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll catch you soon with another podcast. But in the meantime, happy investing. This is Mia Halia signing off.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
You are listening to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.